in the limelight.
Israeli regime forces keep killing Americans while U.S. officials give them a pass, says Alice Sperry, author, in an article published under the heading, No Path to Justice. Here's the story. Early two decades before Israeli regime forces killed Palestinian-American journalist Shirin Abu Aqile, shooting a single bullet into her head while she was reporting from the occupied West Bank city of Jenin, an Israeli troop drove a bulldozer over American peace activist Rachel Corey, crushing her to death. Both killings left little real doubt about the dynamics at play. Abu Aqile was standing with a group of colleagues, wearing a vest clearly marked press, nowhere near the fighting that had taken place earlier that morning. Corey was nonviolently protesting the demolition of a Palestinian family's home in Gaza. She was wearing a fluorescent orange jacket with reflective strips and had been on the scene for several hours, at times speaking into a megaphone. In the moment before her death, Corey was standing in the path of the bulldozer, as other activists had been doing throughout the day. As the driver pushed the machine forward, she climbed onto a mound of dirt so she would be clearly visible, according to witness testimony reviewed by The Intercept. The driver kept advancing. When she fell to the ground, the dirt engulfed her, but the driver moved several feet forward before backing off, effectively crushing her twice. The possibility that he did not see her, as he later claimed, defies all credibility. Still, the Israeli regime never took responsibility for her death. And while the U.S. government rejected the results of the Israeli regime investigation, it did nothing to ensure that such a killing would not happen again. So did it. Corey was killed on March 16, 2003, when she was 23. 12 years later, on the anniversary of her death, her parents and sister met with Antony Blinken for the last time. The Deputy Secretary of State spoke to them in a sincere way they had come to know well. Come back any time, he told them as the meeting came to a close. Corey's didn't want to come back. They had been meeting with Blinken for years, and they were tired. When he asked earnestly, "What can I do for you?" they felt frustrated. "I appreciate your kindness," Craig Corey told Blinken, adding, "I'm glad you are personally engaged, but unless you engage your institution, it doesn't do me any good." He's asking, "What can I do for you?" Cindy Corey, Rachel's mother, told Intercept, adding, "But there is a point at which it's like, what are you guys going to do? I can't tell you what tools you have to use," echoed Sarah, Rachel's sister, adding, "You need to be telling us." Rachel's killing had brought the Coreys to hundreds of offices like Blinken's over the years, but nowhere closer to the accountability they were seeking. Blinken today, the Secretary of State, was one of several senior U.S. officials who worked closely with the family during their years-long crusade for justice, and one of a number who now occupy top positions in the Biden administration. The Coreys liked him, and they appreciated his efforts and warmth. In emails, he signed himself Tony. He always responded to their letters and regularly met with them for longer than scheduled. Ultimately, however, Blinken failed them. As they prepared to leave his office for the last time, Sarah told him there was a promise made to the President of the United States from Prime Minister Ariel Sharon of a thorough, credible, and transparent investigation. Your government said that there never happened, but that promise was never fulfilled, she recalled, adding, you've still got a problem here. Blinken nodded, I know. Walking away, Sarah knew she was done. Blinken had asked her to follow up with an email. She wondered why she should be the one to do that, why one of the staffers in the room couldn't take notes. I felt like we could go on like this for the rest of our lives, she said, adding, I think in some way I needed them to say no. If they weren't going to do anything, that's what I needed to hear out of that meeting. Sarah was 29 when her sister was killed, and since then, she had devoted herself completely to lobbying the U.S. government for action. You think about what your life is in your 30s, developing your career, raising your family, she said in an interview last month, adding, mine was this process. She had been diagnosed with Crohn's disease before Rachel was killed, but the stress of the last 12 years had taken a toll on Sarah's health. The day of that meeting with Blinken, she felt too sick to get out of bed, but powered through it. She had two more meetings at the Senate that day. In the hallway outside Blinken's office, she remembered the words of another senior official, Lawrence Wilkerson, Colin Powell's chief of staff at the State Department at the time of Rachel's death. You are doing the right thing, Wilkerson had warned the family, adding, but you may never see results. So don't lose your health. Those words haunted Sarah now. I'm not going to lose my health over banging my head against the wall, she finally decided, adding, I knew at that point I couldn't keep doing this. I had reached my limit. That was in 2015. Since then, Cindy and Craig Corey have continued to honor Rachel's memory through the Rachel Corey Foundation for Peace and Justice. They launched the Sister City Partnership between Olympia, Washington, where she grew up, and Rafah, the city on the Egypt-Gaza border where she was killed by the Zionist regime forces. They speak in support of Palestinians at events around the world. Sarah was not much an activist herself, but she had seen it as her civic duty to ensure that her government worked as it was supposed to. The endeavor of lobbying U.S. officials to do something about Rachel's killing had become all-consuming, barely leaving time to grieve. After the last meeting with Blinken, she stored the piles of documents she had accumulated over the years and tried to focus on her life. She took up classes and flight lessons. When the Coreys gave up, the U.S. government's effort to get accountability for Rachel also came to an end. Craig Corey said, when we stopped, they stopped. That wagon was in a bunch of mud. If you weren't pushing on it, you didn't go anywhere. Then in May, Abu Aghla was killed. Several independent investigations, including one by the United Nations, concluded that she was shot by an Israeli regime force. describing the shooting as targeted and the bullet that killed her as well-aimed. Her death was referred to the International Criminal Court. But following a tested playbook in such situations, the Zionist regime refused to take responsibility.